You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes are over in Tokyo competing for the gold, and DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer for you, the listeners. Listen to this great offer. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash in $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's promo code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Hello and good day, San Jose. Welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast, your home of the San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network.
What's going on, fellas?
My name is Floor. DJ Floor, what's going on?
This summer, Seattle is going to take your favorite fucking player, and you don't get a say in a single goddamn thing.
Man, I love it. I fucking love it.
Welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast. You're getting the bonus episode. This is released the day before the Seattle expansion draft, and we are going to be the enemy this time around. We are going to do a Seattle expansion mock draft courtesy of Cap Friendly. You can go on their website, go to capfriendly.com. It has an entire interactive simulator on here as well. All the players are already protected. You don't have to spend multiple hours writing down the names and then going back and forth. They have it all done for you on here. So big shout out to Cap Friendly for having that available for all of us armchair GMs nationwide. So to start this off, let me introduce myself. My name is Nick Floor. Obviously, you know me before. We do all these episodes all the time. Joining me, as per usual, we have Dylan Kayser from beautiful Vancouver Island and Nanaimo, Vancouver. How you doing? Vancouver.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that. Christmas in July. Can't complain. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. You know, from the Sharks' perspective, just really quickly, let's switch over to Team Teal. This is great. Because we have no major player where you have to worry about losing here. You know,
we have no skin in the game here. It's just we get to stand on the sidelines really and watch all this shit go down. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
And we lose at best Dylan Gambrell. So you know, at best would be Martin Jones. And you know, worst case scenario, we lose Dylan Gambrell. Yeah. But this is going to be, we're going to go into a little bit of depth, a little bit of in-depth as to who we're going to select. We're not going to go through every single individual player or anything like that, but we will go alphabetically, I guess. Start with Anaheim, right? We're just going to kick this puppy off. Anaheim's got a select number of players available, obviously. And the first name that jumped out to both of us, I believe, was Hayden Fleury, correct?
Yeah, Hayden Fleury was what stands out to me. You know, I believe he was a higher draft pick, young defenseman. He has some size. So I think if Seattle Kraken are looking for a younger defenseman to fill in that spot, I think Hayden Fleury is a good option.
Yeah, you know, he's got a $1.3 million cap hit. He's an RFA in 2022. They'll have his rights. And he's only 25 years old, like you said. So I think if we're going to start this off right, we start off with Hayden Fleury, don't you think?
Let's go with Hayden Fleury. Let's do it.
Send it.
All right. So now,
that wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. I just made a click.
Yeah, they should have like a sound effect or something that happens when you pick the guy.
Easily.
Yeah. All right. Arizona next.
All right. Flipping over to Arizona. Believe it or not, unfortunately for Seattle, they actually have to take somebody from Arizona. kidding, obviously. So you tell me, and it's not Joseph Kojanosh, you know, just recently traded from San Jose. Who do you think that they have the best selection, or who do you think is the best option for them here?
All right. So, I mean, there are a few names out there, some veteran defensemen like Jason Demers. He's out there. Jalmerson. Actually, no, their UFA is coming up. They're still in the unprotected list, though. For me, Christian Fisher is probably the best option. He still has another year left. He's an RFA. He's a younger player. He can be a good third, fourth line player for you, and he's also cheap. So that's why I think Christian Fisher is probably the right option.
Yeah, he's young, he's hungry, and he's only $1 million for this season. And I love the pick. They made the move with Aiden Hill so they could protect Darcy Kemper. And they also took on Andrew Ladd's contract and got a boatload of assets for it and had to give up literally nothing at all, not even a bag of pucks. So I agree with you there. I feel like there's too many great defensive prospects, or I don't even want to say prospects, but players on other teams that I feel like Christian Fisher here is the best option. I almost said Derek Fisher.
Boston Bruins. Now, this is an interesting one.
Yeah, so I was stuck on the Bruins for quite a while because you have so many options, but you know everybody in the top three is going to want to come back. You know, Taylor Hall has already said it. Krejci isn't going to go anywhere. Andre Kasha, all these different guys. But for me personally, I feel like, you know, looking at their defense, they have options there, but they're too old, in my opinion. You know, you have like a Jeremy, I think it's Lauzon, I'm not sure exactly, or Lauzon. But for me, I actually liked Curtis Lazar here. Who do you think?
Yeah, Curtis Lazar, I like him because he's young and he's cheap, right? He's under $1 million. Mm-hmm. There's no risk keeping him on the roster. Andre Kasha, or how do you say Kasha or Kasha?
I say Kasha.
Because he's an RFA, so, I mean, there is an opportunity there. You're still going to have his rights to re-sign him, and he's still a pretty good young player. So I think those two guys are options.
Yeah, and cap hit on Kasha right now is 2.6, but obviously he's in line for a good increase in pay. You could also have the option to sell him to another team or other teams. You have the option to trade him for another in the entry draft to another team. So there's a bunch of different options here. I'm going to let you select this one. The Boston one always fucked with me when I was doing this on my own.
Yeah, so the Boston one was tough. I believe I picked Curtis Lazar because it's a cheap option, low risk. Yeah, that's who I picked.
Okay, perfect. We're going to go with Curtis Lazar, and he is a UFA next season. But he, again, like we said before, can't have too many good centers. So
Wingers
come a dime a dozen, but a great center, I don't want to say he's a great center, but, you know, a good center is always on the table. That's who you want to get. What'd you say? You'd rather have the center that gives you 50 points and the winger that gives you 70 or something along those lines?
You always go for the center. Always go for the center. Because center can make a whole line, right? A winger can't make a whole line.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen it before. I mean, you take the centerman out and you get absolute dog shit. Just look at what the Sharks did when they had Couture and Hurdle out for some time 2 years ago.
Exactly. Next team up, the Buffalo Sabres. This is an interesting one because Jeff Skinner waived his no move clause. You got some other names out there like Kyle Okpozo, Cody Eakin.
Miller was another name that I took a really hard look at. But Jake for me, McCabe, the dollar amount just didn't. Sorry, go ahead.
There's just a bunch of pretty decent players on this team. I don't know if I was Seattle, if I would risk $9 million on Jeff Skinner, though. I just think that's too pricey.
That is steep.
Yeah, it's steep. I do like Cody Eakin, though, because I feel like he could be a legit third-line center for this team.
Yeah, $2.2 million, $2.25 million cap hit, and he's locked up for the 2021 season. Cody Eakin is no stranger to being selected in expansion drafts. That's what happens when you're halfway decent in the faceoff dot, Cody. So I agree with you there. I feel like Cody Eakin is the pick, 30 years old, but a great 3C option, no doubt. So we're going to make that selection and just kind of move forward. We could go over other options, but I really feel like it's
just an easy one.
Like Eakin and Miller and the numbers, the money makes more sense with Eakin. Yeah, he's 30 years old, but there's plenty of 30-year-old 3Cs out there that are still doing great things. And you know, it's just the right pick in my opinion.
All right, the Calgary Flames.
I feel like this is where we take the first big swing. So just as a quick heads up, Milan Lucic waived his no move clause to allow them to protect. I don't even know who the hell they protect because of it. But if you look at the forward group, there really isn't much to grab from there because of the amount of UFAs and RFAs in that group. But then this is where we take a look over at the defenseman and Mark Giordano, 37 years old, but still a phenomenal defenseman. Is available for free 99 right now with a $6.75 million contract, like cap hit on his contract, and he's a UFA the following year. Are we taking our big swing here? I think we are.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, this guy, yeah, he's maybe not an all-star anymore, but he's a top-end defenseman, can bring you some points, bring you some leadership as well to a brand-new organization. And you look at the other guys available, easy choice for me, Giordano.
Yeah. Easily. So, hot damn. That's our first big name, if I'm being completely honest. I feel like the other ones were a little bit smaller, but the first big name taken off the board, Mark Giordano. Let's move to Carolina. Now, Carolina's interesting, to say the least, because they have UFA goaltenders available. They have some halfway decent defensemen available if you're able to select them and then re-sign them. Dougie Hamilton is currently on the market, and just recently Miro Heiskanen got an 8-year, $8.45 million contract. Correct me if I'm wrong there. So you'd figure someone like Dougie Hamilton is going to be asking for the same number around that range, essentially. So if they want to take that route, that is an option. But I feel like this one, much like the previous one, is almost a no-brainer when you take a look at the forwards that were exposed. Nino Niederreiter, 28-year-old left winger with a $5.25 million cap hit, is available and ready for the taking. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think that's also a no-brainer. A top six forward, anytime you can do that in the expansion draft and get a guy that's not too old. Like you said, he's still 28. I think that's who you take. I think you take Niederreiter. Another interesting guy, you know, I know he's an upcoming free agent, but he's an upcoming restricted free agent. Jake Bean, you know, he could be an option. That could be an outside pick if Niederreiter wasn't in this list. You know, a young guy that has a lot of potential. But, you know, I just think Niederreiter is too appetizing. I think they go with him.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Jake Bean is someone that Carolina is hoping. The Nino name is essentially just going to take the eyes off of Jake Bean. I really like the Jake Bean pick, not only for price, but for age and for skill. And with the amount of great defensemen that are out there for them to select at a higher price, I feel like Jake Bean is easily an option, and it frees up easily $4 million here for them to take someone else who may be a little bit more expensive, a more expensive forward from a different team. But I feel like if they taking either Jake Bean or Nino Niederreiter, is no one's going to scoff at it. And I feel like Nino is going to be the pick here for us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Two great options, like you said, Nick. So they're going to win with the Hurricanes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Hurricanes and a couple other teams are out there where it feels like there's two to three really great options. And no matter who you pick, you're getting someone good. So let's move to a team who doesn't necessarily have that available for Seattle. Let's go to the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, there is a report just recently, well, I don't want to say just recently, a few days ago, I think Pierre LeBrun put out that Calvin DeHaan is available, but Seattle is looking at Nikita Zadorov. He's an RFA. He's very good, essentially. I don't, you know, pretty much that. But if you had to select between the two, who are we picking here? Dahan or Zadorov?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you kind of you look at two things, the cap hit and the age. I think you have 4 years younger with Zadorov, and you're also $1 million cheaper with Zadorov as well. So I think that's who you go with. Yeah, you're going to have to re-sign him because he's an upcoming restricted free agent, but I don't think he's going to cost a heck of a lot, and he's a great stay-at-home defenseman. So it's tough, but I do think everything is pointing towards Zadorov.
All right. The rumors and everything else are pointing that way, so we're going to follow suit. Moving on, Colorado Avalanche. So many big names available here. You got the Gabriel Landeskog fiasco. You have Eric Johnson waving his no movement clause. You got Brandon Saad, Jonas Donskoy. There's so many names we can go over here, but I'm zeroing in on one that I really love due to cap hit, due to positional need, and age as well. And for me, that's JT Compher.
Love it. That's exactly who I was going for.
It just solves pretty much every problem that they have moving forward. He's cheaper than Donskoy. He's younger than Donskoy. He could easily be a second or third line guy. And by the time we round out this right winger group, I feel like we're going to have a really solid team of right wingers. And the
Nick,
Sharks
correct me if I'm wrong here. JT Compher is a better, cheaper Kevin LeBanc.
Yes.
There you go.
Next question, please.
Easy.
Yeah, no. Easily, yeah. JT Compher is the obvious pick here. We can go on and on about the guy. He's a beaut, but we're just going to stick with that because we're only about like six or seven teams into it. So we're going to
Landeskog, I don't think he would sign with Seattle. I think that's too big of a risk, especially with all these other great names. Who do we got up next? Columbus?
Yeah, we got the Cumbus. We got the big chungus Columbus is coming at you. This is another obvious, easy to hit. And you're picking up your 1C here if you're Seattle. Max Domi, 26-year-old, $5.3 million cap hit. And just you're gifted a 1C on a silver platter here. And any objections from the audience?
Nothing from me.
Not a goddamn thing.
I think that's an easy pick. You're right. One thing I will note, it's interesting to see Max Domi's career so far, seeing how he's changed teams so many times and what he's 25, 26. That's something to note, but I think that's a no-brainer.
I think this is the Tortorella effect going in full scale. So, it is what it is, but I feel like he's going to do great in the Pacific Northwest, and I feel like he's finally going to get the opportunity to showcase what he has for the rest of the NHL. And it's going to be great to see how he matches up against this terrible Pacific division moving forward, because I honestly feel like Seattle has every opportunity to be the fourth seed out of that division, if not the third. Moving to Dallas.
And one last name I want to throw in that's not getting selected if they do take Domi, Cliff Poo, one of the better names in hockey, will stay in Columbus.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I didn't even see his name.
That's so good. Oh, man. Regroup. Okay. Moving on, we're going to the Dallas Stars, who asked Ben Bishop to waive his no movement clause, and he said, "You're goddamn right, I will." So, who really struck your attention here? I mean, I've taken a look at this team multiple times, and I've saved them for the last selection probably three or four times already. I have no idea who I'm selecting here. Like, I know who I'm leaning towards, but who do you think should be selected?
Really, like, I look at this team as well, and I had a tough time. There's no one that really stands out to me. For me, this is one of those teams where if you're Seattle, you kind of almost just take a loss on it. I feel like you just add a depth guy that's under $1 million that's not going to hurt your cap, and you can maybe send him to the A or just move him real easily. So that could be any number of players, because I don't think they're going to go for, you know, Cogliano or Blake Como, any of these guys. I just don't think that their cap is really worth it, especially with, you know, the other young guys out there in the market.
Yeah, and then you have the only person whose name that I saw that I really liked was Jamie Oleksiak, but he's an unrestricted free agent. So you're just picking up his rights and hoping that he'll sign with you, and I don't think that'll happen. So,
and they could do that with Sammy Vatanen as well, but it's the same situation.
Exactly. So who are we just going to pick up here? This is just a nobody.
I did do Jamie Oleksiak. I figured, you know what, at this point, I figure it's worth more to get those the week or so to talk to him and maybe sign a deal than picking up one of these random guys that we're going to throw out. So let's go with Alexiak.
Yeah, we'll just grab him just to give Dallas Stars fans a quick freak out.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on into Detroit. And those keeping track at home, we are 10 teams in, I believe, if I know how to count.
Hashtag
we've gotten six forwards, four defense, and no goaltenders quite yet. We're at $31.5 million cap hit, so we got plenty of room to go with two-thirds of the teams left. Let's just jump right into the Detroit Red Wings here. And there's a couple of names that we can go over here. You have some nice names. I saw, which I liked, was Vladislav Namestnikov. There's also a couple of really good defensive options in Danny DeKaiser. I'm assuming it's a DeKaiser because, you know, I know a guy whose last name is
DeKaiser, I think it's so. Actually Danny DeKaiser, to be honest.
Well, then he's pronouncing his name wrong. You got Troy Stetcher, and then you got Christian, give me the juice. You can't stop the juice. Who are we picking here? There's two or three decent options here.
I really think they're all kind of similar pieces, right? They're all bottom nine forwards or bottom pairing defensemen. I picked Troy Stetcher with my Vancouver bias. I think he's a good cheap option at $1.7 million, and he's a good reliable defenseman, so that's, you know, an easy choice for me.
Gotcha, and he is signed until the end of the 2022, or he's a UFA in 2022, so you know, he's going to be down there. He can be a bottom pairing easily for the Seattle Kraken. So moving into the Edmonton Oilers, another real shit show here of players who you don't really want to pick up, and it just kind of shows. And I think we took the easy selection here in picking up a cheap young winger who's under contract until 2023. I believe we both agreed that Devin Shore was probably the best selection just from this team, because I mean, if you go through the names, you got James Neal, you don't want to take that. You got Kyle Turris. It's an option, but you're kind of just plugging in older players there. You want some youth upside. You want to be able to take a look at a player and see if he can truly develop for you. And then the Adam Larson and Klefbom contracts, I feel like, aren't worth taking here. So I feel like Devin Shore is probably the way to go.
Yep. No, that's an easy choice for me as well. And, you know, Adam Larson has a contract negotiations coming up, so you'd have to deal with that. Klefbom, who knows what his future's like. Exactly. Florida Panthers next.
Yeah, this one is probably the one of the most agreed on selections in the entirety of the expansion draft. And I think it's Frank Vetrano. I'm kidding. It's not Frank Vetrano. It's Chris Driedger. They plan on selecting him in the expansion draft and then giving him a 3x3.5. That's pretty much what every report has been so far.
You know, some people are throwing the names Noel Achari out there, you know, some other guys, but, you know, because there is the risk factor of going with Driedger and he doesn't sign. But at the end of the day, I think it's a great option for Driedger to get a starting role with the new team. I think that's what happens.
Yeah, and he's probably going to get the best contract from Seattle. The best contract offer will more than likely come from Seattle. So we're going to go with our first goaltender being picked up in Chris Driedger. And then we will move on to the Los Angeles Kings, who have a slew of youth to choose from here and a very bad goaltender of Jonathan Quick. You also have Olli Maatta, which is someone who you could easily select here. I mean, just looking at his cap hit and his age, it fits in with who we've kind of selected so far. But I feel like we're rounding out into the better half of the teams looking forward. So we still need to manage this cap correctly. And I feel like Brendan Lemieux was both of our picks here. He's 25. He's a winger. He could easily be a bottom, a fourth line guy for you, and only $1.5 million. And he has RFA eligibility in 2022. So you're getting a great young player who can hopefully perform above expectations.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're pretty comfortable with putting a guy like that on the fourth line. If you can target great fourth line players, that's always better than just placing there whoever didn't make the third or second line, right? If you can have really good fourth line guys that are specific to that role, I think that's the best case. Brendan Lemieux, I think he fits that role.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of big names that we're going to run into here in the next couple of teams that the reason why we're selecting a little bit of these smaller numbered guys right now. apparently alphabetically. That's just kind of what we're working with. But moving past Los Angeles, we're going to go into Minnesota. Minnesota's got a couple of different options here. You got Ian Cole. You got Carson Soucy, who's under contract with a pretty good cap hit from what I'm seeing here. Marcus Johansson, Nick Bonino, Victor Rask. There's so many options here, but I feel like we're going to make our second goaltending selection here, Dylan, don't you think?
Yeah, I think this one's pretty easy. Kaapo Kähkönen had a great year with the Minnesota Wild. Young goaltender really making his mark. There is some people talking about him getting some consideration for the Calder this year. I mean, I don't think he was in that conversation, but people were talking about it. So I think if you're Seattle, you're looking at a guy that maybe is your starting goaltender in 3-4 years when Drieger's contract is up. So I think that's a great option for the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, I feel like that's easily the way to go. Don't want to exactly repeat everything that you said, but I feel like it's just a smart pick here in this situation because you don't want to take the numbers that the likes of a Nick Bonino or a Victor Rask has. So
they're all aging players. You go with the young guy.
Exactly. And with Minnesota, that marks us our half. Wow. You know, English is difficult to fucking speak sometimes.
We've been recording for a while today.
Yeah, exactly. We're at the halfway point. We've got 8 forwards, 5 defense. And 2 of our 3 goaltenders, and we're still under half of the cap. But don't worry, we're going to be eating that fucking cap up here pretty soon. Starting with Montreal, we're taking our last goaltender. Just kidding, we're not grabbing Carey
Price.
You
scared me there for a second.
But that's the big storyline so far this week, is Carey Price waived his no movement clause so they could protect Jake Allen. And then all these reports are coming out of him having to see a doctor for a leg and hip surgery. So, you know, maybe that's enough to scare Seattle away from selecting Carey Price. And then your eyes avert away from Shea Weber with everything going on with him. And you kind of fall on one or two guys. And I think it really comes down to one, and that's Jonathan Drouin.
Yeah, for me, it has to be Drouin. You know, there's been a lot of, I don't know if I want to call them issues with the player the last year, but he hasn't been super consistent. I think if you can figure everything out, this guy's a super talented player. He was drafted 2nd overall. I think that's an easy option. Looking at Carey Price, yeah, that's super interesting, but I think Mark Bergevin's right. Seattle's not going to want to take on that huge cap hit. But I will say, at the end of the day, if Seattle does take Carey Price out of left field, they take him. Do you think Bergevin gets fired? Because I think he might, because that's a franchise-changing move right there.
If they had not made it to the Stanley Cup Finals this year, you might be right.
Right.
But I feel like with where they've gone and kind of how they played this game,
he bought himself a year or two minimum with that finals run.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's still Carey Price's decision to make. So
yeah,
he that decision.
Yeah.
And I don't fault either of them for doing it. It's a $10.5 million cap hit for the next fucking 5 years we're looking at. Now, in our scenario right now, if we add the $10.5 million, we're at $47.5 of $81.5 million. So that's a significant jump. You're talking an eighth of the cap. Is being taken from your goaltender. But we saw what Marc-Andre Fleury was able to do for the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, granted, Carey Price, you know, with the injury news that's coming out, as well as his regular season performances, you know, it's a true coin toss, in my opinion, if you select Carey Price here. You could either be really hurting this team for the next 5 years from Seattle's perspective, or you could turn this team to a whole nother level if Carey Price can extend that. So I feel like this is going to be one of the biggest storylines come Wednesday when we find out what Seattle's going to do in regards to Montreal. So
one last thought on it, why I don't think they're going to take Carey Price. We've seen it a lot in the league in the last couple of years where a lot of teams have success splitting the load between two goalies, having two almost 1B goaltenders. And I think if they go with guys like Chris Drieger and, you know, Kähkönen maybe, I think that's kind of the route that they would rather take, have each guy play around 40 games. So that's my last thought about that.
Yeah, exactly. And if we're looking at the defensemen that we're going to select, or that we may select here pretty soon, it's going to be a very good defensive team in front of that goaltender. So maybe you don't need Carey Price to stand on his head 24/7.
Hey, great point.
For that $10 million. So I feel like for us, we're going to take Jonathan Drouin here. Pretty cheap, pretty young, and I think he's going to be there. He's going to be winging on the left wing for Max Domi. Or sorry, well, no, we slotted him on a different line, but we haven't gotten to that pick yet. So yeah, easily a left winger for this team. Top six. We'll just say top six.
There we go.
Fucking just cover the bases there.
You're trying to work your way out of that one. Yeah.
I'm just backpedaling like the Sharks are right now. Fuck.
All
right.
The Nashville Predators, another interesting team.
Yeah, you got Ryan Johansson, you got Matt Duchene, all coming in at a fat fucking cap hit of $8 million. And I don't want either one of them.
No, I'm not. I'm personally not a big fan of either of these players. I think that they're overpaid. I think Matt Duchene has been one of the more overrated guys in the last 5 years. That's just my personal opinion. If you like the player, come at me. I don't care. But there's some other guys. There's some other guys like that are on their unprotected list. Erik Branson, Roy Ekki on defense. I mean, I just don't. There's nothing too good here because of the price tags on all of these players.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to have to take almost the exact same type of approach that we have with a couple of different guys. If I'm being completely honest here, my selection would probably be Nick Cousins.
And not bad.
He's 27. He's a winger. He's going to be a $1.5 million cap hit. It's a very small cap hit for this team, and he could easily surprise. You have a player like Yaron Croc that you could also take as well. Or you can take a bit of a cheaper option on defense and go with Matthew Benning. But I feel like the defense, the high-priced, we have a couple of high-priced defensemen in mind that we're going to take here in the future. And I feel like Benning's talents or lack thereof would almost be wasted. Whereas Nick Cousins would have the opportunity to compete with the Christian Fisher or the Brendan Lemieux that we've already drafted.
Yeah,
as far as wingers go. That's just in my opinion. Unless you had someone else in mind, we can talk this one out.
No, I mean, when I did my initial one, I did take Matt Benning just because he's such a cheap option at $1 million. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think either way, Seattle's going to look at the Nashville Predators and try and come away with just a small contract. I think if you come away with a small contract, that's a win for the Kraken.
What we could do, we could always circle back to this because we have 5 of our 9 defensemen and we have 9 of our 14 forwards.
Yeah, let's circle back. Let's move on to...
We'll skip Nashville because they're not worth the time. And we'll jump to New Jersey.
Big shout out to the Catfish on Ice podcast, by the way. Covering the Nashville Predators.
Fuck. We'll go to New Jersey, who has a couple of big names available that I don't think are going to be selected. PK Subban being one of them. Big Aaron Dell over there. Former Shark alert there for the Sharks fans listening to this one. Aaron Dell is exposed. But, you know, I'm going to leave this one to you because this is a goddamn shit show, in my opinion. There isn't a single name on here that I would really, really like to grab minus Andreas Johnsson.
There's actually a name that I would really like to grab, and I think that the Seattle Kraken will. Will Butcher, I think he's a good option for them on defense, a 26-year-old guy, $3.7 million. I think he would be a great option for the Kraken.
Yeah, the cap hit's right. He's getting near $4 million, but he is young, and you can also renegotiate that at the end of the following season. I went with Andreas Johnsson personally just because, I mean, they're almost the exact same fucking player.
Almost, just in different position, right?
Just as looking far as value at the goes. Numbers. Yeah. You have one more year left on Andreas Johnson's contract over there expiring in 2023, but... We're at five of nine defensemen, and there's plenty of forwards available for us that we know we're going to select. So I'm going to roll with you on this one. I'm going to select Will Butcher here. I got a couple more defensemen in mind that I think are going to round out the D group very well in front of assumed starting goaltender Chris Driedger. So we're going to pick him. We're going to jump over to the New York Islanders, the boys on the island. Great, I don't want to say Stanley Cup run, but great run. Just ran into just a absolutely gargantuan of a team in Tampa Bay. Who's the first person that sticks out to you here, and why is it Casey Cizikas. Kidding, yeah, obviously. Well,
Casey Cizikas is interesting. He's an upcoming UFA, but I think a lot of teams really like his skill set. We've seen guys, you know, like Philip Deneau is a very comparable player, I think, to him. He's looking at getting paid. There's a lot of other defensive forwards that are getting paid in the NHL right now. So I think he's a good option. You know, Jordan Eberle, I mean, that guy's going to bring you some scoring. He's $5 million, 5.5, yeah, but he's going to bring you probably 20 goals every single season. So there are some good options here from the Islanders.
I have one in mind that I really want to see end up on Seattle, and it's Sebastian Aho.
That's who I picked for my team.
I really like the upside there with that pick, as well as the cost, because he's an RFA the following year, and I mean, he's so cheap, $725,000 cap hit, and he's 25 years old.
Yeah, I know. I think it's one of those situations where, again, you come out with just a cheap deal, a young guy. Yeah, there's some upside, but you're not expecting a lot from him. So I think they could go that way. Yeah.
I'm going to make this selection. I'm going to do this. I just feel like there's just not much in the forward group that's very enticing.
Hey, I would not be surprised whatsoever if Jordan Eberle gets selected.
Yeah. I just feel like you have better options available just from what we've seen here so far. If we go to our team, so just taking a look at our forward group, we got Drouin, we got Max Domi, we got Nino Niederreiter and JT Compher, Brendan Lemieux, Christian Fisher, Devin Shore, just and Curtis Lazar. I do believe that he is better. If I'm just taking a look at the Islanders, sorry, I'm jumping back and forth. Eberle is better. I just don't know if I like that cap hit. There's another one of those teams where I could easily come back to and take a look at just because of the uncertainty with it.
Yeah, you know, the cap hit is tough. But again, like I said, I think you're going to get 20 goals for that 5.5. So are you really overpaying? I don't really think so.
And yeah, you get him until 2024. Let's make the Eberle pick. Let's just send it to the fucking moon, Dylan.
Cool, let's go.
I'm going to roll with you on this one here just to see where it goes. Because I do think we have an actual top six right winger that we're going to both agree on here very soon. But let's jump over to the other side of New York. Let's go to the Rangers. Let's take a look at this shit show and figure out who they're going to grab and dump, because there's really nothing here that I feel like they're going to grab and like.
For me, this one's easy. Like, something you really want to bring to a team, especially a new team, is like character and community. And I think Anthony DeAngelo would fit perfect with that. No, they're not going to pick fucking DeAngelo. I think they're going to go – I selected just Barclay Goodrow. I know he's an upcoming free agent, but I think if you can sign him on a cheap deal, you know, Tampa Bay has shown what kind of player he is. Two-time Stanley Cup champion, I think he would be a good option.
And a breaker of hearts of those in Vegas, and they're in your team. So what better way to troll the Vegas Golden Knights already and take the guy and sign the guy? Because, I mean, there's been rumors of him having a six-year contract from some teams. But you take this guy and you give him a contract that he wants, and he crushes their fucking dreams again.
That's all we can hope for.
Personally, I'd love it. But let's move on to Ottawa, another team that could definitely use some influx of talent. There's a lot of options here, Dylan. We're approaching team 20. That's where we're at right now with Ottawa, and we're at $52.7 million at our cap hit right now.
Yeah, like we said, there's a lot of options. We didn't say they were good options. You know, there's Derek Stepan, Dadonov, and Anisimov, guys like that on the list. I mean, I don't know, Chris Tierney's on there.
This is like Golden Corral, because it's like, it's a buffet, but you know it's not good for you.
I mean, I don't even know who I did pick for this team. I think it was another situation where you're just taking a cheap player for the sake of coming out without much money.
Yeah, it's a fair analysis here. I think if I'm taking a look at who we picked, I believe it was Michael Amadio. I don't know how to pronounce it. It was literally just like the cheapest fucking guy who's an RFA that you could send down to the A.
Yeah. So, actually, I'm looking. Yeah, I think Michael Andreas. I can't even read my writing here. Yeah, I just picked an upcoming RFA. So we can just pick any random player there and kind of move on.
Yeah, sorry, Shane. Don't want to insult you or anything, but You got shit to work with here, bud. Let's move on. Let's move on to Philly, who's got a lot of options here, but I feel like we're going to find one of our top pairing defensemen here. They have Braun. They got Jacob Voracek. They got James Van Riemsdyk. But I think we've both zeroed in on the ghost bomb, Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah, Shane Gostisbehere, I think that's another pretty easy one. He's been rumored to be on the move for quite a while out of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. which was surprising to me. Actually, was he placed on waivers at one point? I think he might have. But, you know, I still think he's a good defenseman. At the cap hit is not much at all, 4.5. Even if he takes a step back from what he is, you're not overpaying him by that much. I think that's an easy pick for the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, I just feel like the price tag with Van Riemsdyk and Voracek are just a smidge too high. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's selected. There's just a lot of options available there for him. Mainly, there's a couple of teams that I've looked at where you could interchange players. If they like Voracek more, they can take Y player from X team. If they like Gostisbehere more, they can take the other player from that team. It really is preference, and for me personally, I like Shane here as well. So we're gonna take him. We're gonna move to the Pittsburgh Penguins and take
never say that again.
Penguins.
It's Jason Zucker, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's much else to say. I think Jason Zucker, Marcus Pettersson. I mean, there's some people saying maybe the defenseman gets selected, 25 years old, just over $4 million. But I think Jason Zucker has a great track record. He can put up some goals for this new Seattle team. So, it's Zucker for me.
Gotcha. And I think that was our number one winger that we had over there with Max Domi. When I jumped the gun there earlier. We're going to take a leap to our favorite team, the San Jose Sharks. Let's get this puppy rolling here. We've both said it, Dylan Gambrell. Cheap, young, 4C. There's nothing more to talk about. If you want to hear...
San Jose fans, like, Martin Jones ain't happening. Just erase that out of your mind. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And that's actually 14 forwards that we have selected. Obviously, they're going to take more, but we're going to jump and actually make a more notable selection here from the St. Louis Blues, Vladimir Tarasenko.
I mean, I think this is another, we say this a lot, this is an obvious one because a potential superstar here.
Yeah, I mean, he can easily make a comeback and revive his career in Seattle. Another option is select and re-sign Vince Dunn, who then you would go back to, who do we talk about? Philly. You have Vince Dunn from St. Louis. You go back to Philly and you take the Voracek instead of taking Tarasenko here. I think those are very interchangeable. Moving to Tampa as we wrap everything up. We've got about $10 million in cap space left to round out this team. So we got to be thrifty because there is there's two defensemen that Nick really likes and wants to select. So who are we taking here? There's so many options.
There's a lot of options here. Andre Palat, Yanni Gourde, Tyler Johnson, Alex Killorn, Patrick Maroon. I mean, those are all very good options. When I initially did my team, I took Yanni Gourde at center. I just think having a top six center is super valuable, and I think he could be the second line guy for this team. But Nick, like you said, we're knocking against the cap pretty soon here, so I don't know who we should take.
Well, the best part about it is the cap hit, I don't believe it actually applies for them until they start playing games, so they can just select. Now, I might be wrong. Again.
No, I think you're right. They can make some moves. So, you know, that being said, I'm going to say Yanni Gourde. I think that's an easy one for me. I mean, anytime you can add a top six center in an expansion draft, I mean, we see the Vegas Golden Knights. It doesn't happen very often. I don't think they came out with a legitimate center like Yanni Gourde is. Is he a first line guy? No, but I think he can bring you 50 points a season.
Yeah, easily. Just taking a look at the next team. The Toronto Maple Leafs, they're trying to get rid of their junk. you know, they just recently acquired Jared McCann, who I feel like they acquired him from Pittsburgh and then they exposed him. And I feel like he's a very good player that could easily be selected here. If you take a look at some other picks and you select some different players, some cheaper guys here or there. I do feel like Jared McCann's on the table here. Who are we deciding on in this bit?
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, there's a few options. You know, I feel like if the Kraken don't take another guy at 3C, I think, you know, Kerfoot could be an option. For me, I just ended up going cheap. Going young, I went with Travis Dermott. I think he's a good option for the Kraken.
All right, we're gonna stick with that. I'm just trying to find him. What am I doing here?
A defense.
Ah, third down.
There you go.
I'm just blind. You'll have to excuse me.
All right, Vancouver Canucks. Louis Erickson, I think we're this pretty clear on that one.
This is your area of expertise here, so we're going to let you decide this one.
Well, I mean, to be honest, this is another situation where there's not really anybody that's worth taking here. You look at most of the guys, they're expensive, they're old, they're players that you don't really want on your team. I selected Madison Bowie, you know, 26-year-old right-handed defenseman. Under $1 million, you can kind of place him wherever you want. Either in the AHL or play him in the NHL. So Madison Bowie, that's who I think they select from the Vancouver Canucks.
All righty. We're going to select him again once I fucking find him. I'm just losing my mind over
third
here.
Third defenseman down. All right. So who we got now? The Washington Capitals. Interesting name at the top of the list.
Yeah. So this is my problem when I'm taking a look at it. We've got a couple of teams left here. You got the Winnipeg Jets. And you got the Washington Capitals. Who do you like better, Brendan Dillon or Dylan DeMello?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Me, personally, I like Dylan DeMello. I know that I like his cap hit better. It's $3 million, and he's under contract until 2024. That's $900,000 cheaper than Brendan Dillon.
Well, I think one thing, I mean, it's kind of cliche to say, you know, Stanley Cup champion, but he is, and he's kind of done it all, Brendan Dillon. And I think it depends how young this team is. If it's a young back end, I think maybe you go with Brendan Dillon. If the team's a little bit older by the time you come to this point in the expansion draft, yeah, maybe you go for the younger guy. You go with Dylan DeMello.
All right, we're running with Dilly. And I do know that... we were supposed to take a third goalie here, sir.
Right.
So I feel like we do have to make a slight adjustment in at least one or two of our selections. Let's take a look at the Washington Capitals, because I may have an idea involving our goaltending selection here. If we go back to the Blackhawks, and we've talked about Zadorov or Calvin DeHaan, they need to take a third goaltender, and I do feel like Malcolm Subban is there as an option. They can also take a look, and they could take Vitek Vanacek as a goaltender. He's an RFA, and he did pretty well for them here. Because I really love the idea of Seattle selecting Brendan Dillon, but from what I've been reading in the meantime, it does look like they do have to stay within that $81.5 million limit. So with that being said, we have to make a slight adjustment here. We're at $81.3 million. And we've got two teams to essentially fork $200,000 between. We have our Nashville selection that we were going to circle back to. And we also have the Capitals selection that we have yet to select. So we've put ourselves in a bit of a pickle here, Dylan.
We have, and you know, I think, like I said, a couple teams, maybe, you know, with like the Jordan Eberle coming out of the Islanders, maybe that's something that the Seattle Kraken can't do. And you have to end up just replacing that with a cheaper player. I mean, looking at the team, I don't know who I would pick right off the bat. Who did you pick
I actually, from the Islanders, I selected Aho.
Yeah, let's go with that. All right, let's go with Aho.
When I came back to the Capitals, I selected Brendan Dillon because I really love him.
Yep.
We're all Sharks fans, right? You could bring back the Dilly special.
Exactly.
All right? And what a marketable option for a possible Bud Light sponsor for Seattle to get the Dilly going on. And they have the chemistry. They have the Stanley Cup playoffs experience, essentially, and you also solidify your top four defensemen there with that selection. And then when we make that jump back to Nashville and we just take a look at what we have left, we got $1 million to spend on a guy we can throw this fucking pick away, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah,
there's,
oh yeah,
there's totally. Options. My initial one was Nick Cousins, but that would put us literally $500,000 over the cap.
Yeah, and you know, so, some of the players that we've selected as well are under $1 million. You can send them down to the AHL.
Yeah, exactly. So we can select Frederick Allard. We can select Nick Cousins. I want to go. Let's see here. We got a couple red things here that we haven't selected. I believe it was our goaltending issue because we selected Zadorov, whereas we originally had Malcolm Subban as the third goaltender in.
Right.
For them. I still like the Zadorov selection, but maybe for Nashville, they just take someone like Connor Ingram or you know, they just fill the void here.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you had a different option in mind.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. Let's should we take a look at our final roster here?
Yeah, so we've got all 30 teams drafted, 15 forwards. We have 12 defense. We went fucking ham sandwich on the defense.
Ham sandwich, baby.
Three goaltenders. We've got 25 of the 20 contracts. We're at $81.2 million as far as cap goes. So, like I said before, it quickly adds up that type of those selections, this money, this stuff. All this quickly adds up. And I do feel like we could easily make some of these players down here tradable, looking at the defense. But just highlighting the 15 forwards, Tarasenko, Jason Zucker, Jonathan Drouin, Max Domi, Nino Niederreiter, Yanni Gord, JT Compher, Cody Eakin, Brendan Lemieux, Dylan Gambrell, Christian Fisher, Devin Shore, Curtis Lazar, Michael, I'm going to just say Amadio because that sounds so much cooler, and Barkley Goodrow. As far as defense goes, we have Mark Giordano, Shane Gostisbehere, Brendan Dillon, Will Butcher, Dylan DeMello, Troy Stetcher, Travis Dermott, Hayden Fleury, Madison Bowie, Sebastian Aho, Jamie Oleksiak, Nikita Zadorov. So we did go a little ham on the defenseman there. Options could easily be swapped here and there. Goaltenders, we got Chris Driedger, Kaapo Kähkönen, and Connor Ingram.
Nick, I think that's a pretty solid team. I really do. I think everybody coming into the season, you know, they were saying, yeah, Seattle's probably going to have a good team, but they're not going to be as good as Vegas when they first came in. And you heard that narrative a lot. But looking at the team we just drafted, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the actual team hit the ice. But I think that this is going to be a really strong team right out of the gate.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's last year, or I don't want to say last year, the last expansion, it was a lot of teams giving up assets to take other players that backfired. I feel like this time around, there's just the parity of this league is very evident. The flat cap is very evident right now. And seeing a couple of really, really good players that are still available for selection, or, you know, just off the top of my head, Nino Niederreiter, Jason Zucker, Max Domi, those type of players that are going to be available for Seattle to kind of just snatch up and build a solid team around. You know, I said it before, I think Seattle's going to easily get the fourth seed out in the Pacific. It's a better team than the Sharks have right now, in my opinion, just from what we've seen so far.
Yep, I'd agree.
If they can establish that chemistry. And definitely better than every California team, better than every California team. And then after that, the competition's slim. So, yeah, I'm excited for Wednesday. Again, we're doing this. It's dropping Tuesday. It's a pretty fun little exercise to do. I don't know how much I would do it because, goddamn, that took some time.
But,
it's just going to be a really exciting thing for the hockey world to kind of see, and especially as Sharks fans, because we don't have jack shit to give up. As you see down there, we got Dylan Gambrell being given. So
I've said it before, hockey fans, cherish this next week because things like this don't happen all the time. You know, it might be another 10, 15 years. You might be an old man or an old woman next time there's an expansion coming in to the NHL. So cherish this next week and, you know, the launch of the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, I mean, and I just can't wait. Honestly, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the league and I'm excited for us to finally get to 32 teams just about every other league has right now. So,
and Nick, at the end of the day, what I'm most excited about is getting out of this studio and ripping a piss.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note, let's wrap this puppy up. You can follow the
podcast.
Was
that subtle or not subtle?
Just a smidge. Okay. Dude, I'm right there with you. I got water bottles and everything. Don't worry. You can follow the network at Stick Hungry Pod. Sorry, you can follow the podcast at Stick Hungry Pod. You can follow the network at HockeyPodNet. You can follow myself on Twitter at NickFlora_. I am still taking requests for voiceovers, so feel free to DM me. Dylan, where can they find you?
You can follow myself at DYL_THPN, and make sure you check out Everyday Hockey on YouTube.
All right, folks, that wraps it up for us today. Make sure you guys stay safe. Have fun watching the expansion draft. And drink your water.